time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way.
Amen. Well, sometimes it's just because of the weekend, but it's also because we forgot to announce that the time changed last night. So I believe there will be many that will come on an hour later. That's all right, my brothers and sisters. You know, let's just make sure we're not too late to repent of our sins. Amen. Let's make sure we're not too late when the Holy Spirit is talking to us and urging us give Christ our whole heart. So we definitely have some involvement on Facebook as well, but the numbers are very, very slim on the call, and we understand. So let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, bless us as we have worship and wellness this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the successful Sabbath. We ask that you would continue to be with your people and just bring us into a full knowledge, Lord, of your perfect will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. I will tell you that we're going to have our opening song at this time, and that is It's About Time. Okay. All right, it's going to play now.
Yeah.
we're going to be talking about the Tower of Babel, and I'm going to read, actually, from chapter 10 of Patriarchs and Prophets. It begins on page 117. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we come before your presence, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We just ask that you will smile upon us only because we have repented of our sins and we are humble, and that we are placing ourselves where we can be used by you. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. To repeople the desolate earth, which the flood had so lately swept from its moral corruption, God had preserved but one family, the household of Noah, to whom he had declared, "Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation," Genesis 7:1. Yet in the three sons of Noah was speedily developed the same distinction seen in the world before the flood. In Shem, Ham, and Japheth, there were to be the founders, in Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were to be the founders of the human race, was foreshadowed the character of their posterity. Noah, speaking by divine inspiration, foretold the history of the three great races to spring from these fathers of mankind. Tracing the descendants of Ham through the son rather than the father, he declared, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." The unnatural crime of Ham declared that filial reverence had long before been cast from his soul, and it revealed the impiety and vileness of his character. These evil characteristics were perpetuated in Canaan and his posterity, whose continued guilt called upon them the judgment of God. On the other hand, the reverence manifested by Shem and Japheth for their father, and thus for the divine statutes, promised a brighter future for their descendants. Concerning these sons, it was declared, "Blessed be Jehovah, God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." The line of Shem was to be that of the chosen people of God's covenant, of the promised Redeemer. Jehovah was the God of Shem. From him would descend Abraham and the people of Israel, through whom Christ was to come. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord, Psalms 144:15. And Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. In the blessings of the gospel, the descendants of Jacob were especially to share. The posterity of Canaan descended to the most degrading forms of heathenism. Though the prophetic curse had doomed them to slavery, the doom was withheld for centuries. God bore with their impiety and corruption until they passed the limits of divine forbearance. Then they were dispossessed and became bondmen to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. The prophecy of Noah was no arbitrary denunciation of wrath or a declaration of favor. It did not fix the character and destiny of his sons, but it showed what would be the result of the course of life they had severally chosen and the character they had developed. It was an expression of God's purpose toward them and their posterity in view of their own character and conduct. As a rule, children inherit the dispositions and tendencies of their parents and imitate their example. I like that. It says as a rule. That means it doesn't happen in all cases. So friends, if your mother or father passed on some things, or you know they were a certain way, grandparents a certain way, you don't have to have that. It's just that as a rule, in other words, generally speaking, this is what happens. Thus, the vileness and irreverence of Ham were reproduced in his posterity, bringing a curse upon them for many generations. One sinner destroyeth much good, Ecclesiastes 9:18. So I just want to talk about that real quickly, friends. You know, when God puts a curse on us, it doesn't mean that everybody in that line has to have the curse. It just means that God understands that children are going to generally do what their parents do. They don't have to. They can study the word, and they can say, I'm breaking this generational curse. But oftentimes, they just follow in the path of their parents. And so God could declare this is going to be what happens because he knows the end from the beginning. Now, you know, a lot of people look at the descendants of Ham and say, and I haven't really done a thorough study on this, but I'm just telling you what is commonly taught, that represents certain regions like Africa and things of this nature. And we know there was a lot of slavery from Africa. We also know that there is heathenism in Africa, as it is in other places. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is when you get to the gospel dispensation, it's not about your race anymore. We're not Jews because we are from Israel. We're Jews because we're spiritual Jews. And so that encompasses every nation. So those things don't apply anymore. The curse doesn't apply anymore. The bottom line is, in a spiritual sense, you can be a descendant of Noah, of Shem and Japheth, regardless of the color of your skin. And you can be a slave regardless of the color of your skin. So I wanted to just bring that out because some people still hang on those racial tentacles. And again, they may even be wrong, but nonetheless, God is a God who is saving all people. On the other hand, how richly rewarded was Shem's respect for his father, and what an illustrious line of holy men appears in his posterity. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and his seed is blessed. Psalms 37, 18, and 26. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7, 9. For a time, the descendants of Noah continued to dwell among the mountains where the ark had rested. As their numbers increased, apostasy soon led to division. Those who desired to forget their Creator and to cast off the restraint of his law felt a constant annoyance from the teaching and example of their God-fearing associates. And after a time, they decided to separate from the worshipers of God. Accordingly, they journeyed to the plain of Shinar on the banks of the river Euphrates. They were attracted by the beauty of the situation and the fertility of the soil, and upon this plain they determined to make their home. Here they decided to build a city, and in it a tower of such stupendous height as should render it the wonder of the world. These enterprises were designed to prevent the people from scattering abroad in colonies. God had directed men to disperse throughout the earth to replenish and subdue it. But these Babel builders determined to keep their community united in one body and to found a monarchy that should eventually embrace the whole earth. Thus, their city would become the metropolis of a universal empire. Its glory would command the admiration and homage of the world and render the founders illustrious. The magnificent tower reaching to the heavens was intended to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders, perpetuating their fame to the latest generation. The dwellers in the plain of Shinar disbelieved God's covenant that he would not again bring a flood upon the earth. Many of them denied the existence of God and attributed the flood to the operation of natural causes. Others believed in a supreme being and that it was he who had destroyed the antediluvian world, and their heart, like that of Cain, rose up in rebellion against him. One object before them in the erection of the tower was to secure their own safety in case of another deluge. By carrying the structure to a much greater height than was reached by the waters of the flood, they thought to place themselves beyond all possibility of danger. As they would be able to ascend to the region of the clouds, they hoped to ascertain the cause of the flood. The whole undertaking was designed to exalt still further the pride of its projectors and to turn the minds of future generations away from God and lead them into idolatry. When the tower had been partially completed, a portion of it was occupied as a dwelling place for the builders. Other apartments, splendidly furnished and adorned, were devoted to their idols. The people rejoiced in their success and praised the gods of silver and gold and set themselves against the ruler of heaven and earth. Suddenly, the work that had been advancing so prosperously was checked. Angels were sent to bring to naught the purpose of the builders. The tower had reached a lofty height, and it was impossible for the workmen at the top to communicate directly with those at the base. Therefore, when men were stationed at different points, each to receive and report to the one next below him the orders for needed material or other directions concerning the work, as messages were thus passing from one to another, the language was confounded, so that the material was called for which was not needed, and the directions delivered were often the reverse of those that had been given. Confusion and dismay followed. All the work came to a standstill. There could be no further harmony or cooperation. The builders were wholly unable to account for the strange misunderstandings among them, and in their rage and disappointment, they reproached one another. Their confederacy ended in strife and bloodshed. People died by this. Lightning from heaven, as an evidence of God's displeasure, broke off the upper portion of the tower and cast it to the ground. Men were made to feel that there is a God who ruleth in the heavens. Up to this time, all men had spoken the same language. Now those that could understand one another's speech united in company. Some went one way and some another. The Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. This dispersion was the means of peopling the earth. And thus the Lord's purpose was accomplished through the very means that men had employed to prevent its fulfillment. But at what a loss to those who had set themselves against God. It was his purpose that as men should go forth to found nations in different parts of the earth, they should carry with them a knowledge of his will, that the light of truth might shine undimmed to succeeding generations. Noah, the faithful preacher of righteousness, lived for 350 years after the flood, Shem for 500 years. And thus their descendants had an opportunity to become acquainted with the requirements of God and the history of his dealings with their fathers. They were unwilling to listen to these unpalatable truths. They had no desire to retain God in their knowledge, and by the confusion of tongues, they were, in a great measure, shut out from intercourse with those who might have given them life. The Babel builders had indulged the spirit of murmuring against God. Instead of gratefully remembering his mercy to Adam and his gracious covenant with Noah, they had complained of his severity in expelling the first parents from Eden and destroying the world by a flood. But while they murmured against God as arbitrary and severe, they were accepting the rule of the cruelest of tyrants. Satan was seeking to bring contempt upon the sacrificial offering that prefigured the death of Christ. And as the minds of the people were darkened by idolatry, he led them to counterfeit these offerings and sacrifice their own children upon the altars of their God. As men turned away from God, the divine attributes, justice, purity, and love, were supplanted by oppression, violence, and brutality. The men of Babel had determined to establish a government that should be independent of God. There were some among them, however, who feared the Lord, who had been deceived by the pretensions of the ungodly and drawn into their schemes. For the sake of these faithful ones, the Lord delayed his judgments and gave the people time to reveal their true character. As this was developed, the sons of God labored to turn them from their purpose. but the people were fully united in their heaven-daring undertaking. Had they gone on unchecked, they would have demoralized the world in its infancy. Their confederacy was founded in rebellion, a kingdom established for self-exaltation, but in which God was to have no rule or honor. Had this confederacy been permitted, a mighty power would have borne sway to banish righteousness, and with it, peace, happiness, and security from the earth. For the divine statutes, which are holy and just and good, Romans 7:12, men were endeavoring to substitute laws to suit the purpose of their own selfish and cruel hearts. Those that feared the Lord cried unto him to interpose. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. In mercy to the world, he defeated the purpose of the tower builders and overthrew the memorial of their daring. In mercy, he confounded their speech, thus putting a check on their purposes of rebellion. God bears long with the perversity of men, giving them ample opportunity for repentance. But he marks all their devices to resist the authority of his just and holy law. From time to time, the unseen hand that holds the scepter of government is stretched out to restrain iniquity. Unmistakable evidence is given that the creator of the universe, the one infinite in wisdom and love and truth, is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth, and that none can with impunity defy his power. The schemes of the Babel builders ended in shame and defeat. The monument to their pride became the memorial of their folly. Yet men are continually pursuing the same course, depending upon self and rejecting God's law. It is the principle that Satan tried to carry out in heaven, the same that governed Cain in presenting his offering. There are tower builders in our time. Infidels construct their theories from the supposed deductions of science and reject the revealed word of God. They presume to pass upon God's moral government. They presume to pass sentence upon God's moral government. They despise his law and boast of the sufficiency of human reason. Then, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, Ecclesiastes 8:11. In the professedly Christian world, many turn away from the plain teachings of the Bible and build up a creed from human speculations and pleasing fables, and they point to their tower as a way to climb up to heaven. Men hang with admiration upon the lips of eloquence while it teaches that the transgressor shall not die, that salvation may be secured without obedience to the law of God. If the professed followers of Christ would accept God's standard, it would bring them into unity. But so long as human wisdom is exalted above his holy word, there will be division and dissension. The existing confusion and conflicting creeds and sects is fitly represented by the term Babylon, which prophecy, Revelation 14:8 and 18:2, applies to the world-loving churches of the last days. Many seek to make a heaven for themselves by obtaining riches and power. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, Psalm 73:8, trampling upon human rights and disregarding divine authority. The proud may be for a time in great power and may see success in all that they undertake, but in the end they will find only disappointment and wretchedness. The time of God's investigation is at hand. The Most High will come down to see that which the children of men have builded. His sovereign power will be revealed. The works of human pride will be laid low. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. Psalms 33, verses 13, 14, verses 10, and 11. Brothers and sisters, what building are you building today? Are you building a tower of pride and selfishness? You know, I was discussing this with my wife that surrender to God is the hardest, easiest thing we've ever done. It's the hardest thing because we have to surrender our pride and selfishness and plans and goals and all of that to the Lord. But it's the easiest thing because all we have to do is surrender. So there is a science to it, friends. It's a letting go. Lord, I give it all to you. Whatever you say, whatever you want. I take my life, take my plans, take my sins, and I rededicate my life to you. That's all we have to say, but we have to mean it and then go forward in eating of the bread that brings spiritual life, staying in God's word and praying more and doing acts of kindness. You won't be lost. You can't be lost if you do this because you have all the resources of heaven at your disposal. Jesus would not, we're told, allow it to be said that he could have done more to save us. Therefore, there is ample power to get each of us into the kingdom of heaven. We need to claim that, my brothers and sisters, and let's surrender our hearts to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the history of Noah, the history of Shem and Japheth, and even the lessons we can learn from the history of the descendants of Ham, who wanted to build a tower in defiance of your word. Your word will be everlasting. It will come to pass. And all who build against it and eventually accept a creation of the papacy as a mark of their loyalty to Satan will be lost. Father, help us in our daily walk to be faithful to you so that when that time comes, we will not be found wanting. Bless us, Lord. Help us to accomplish much because we cooperate with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is merciful. God is good. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. We're going to be talking about what you will never learn in other places about hypertension, or what you've never been told about hypertension. All right, let's go to our torso song at this time.
The land of the Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and
there's a scripture in the Bible that says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. And that is from Matthew chapter 16, when Peter was asked, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ. Jesus responded, and Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, every one of us has something that God reveals that God has not really, not that he has not revealed it to anybody else, but you didn't learn it from anybody else. You learned it directly from the Holy Spirit. What I'm about to share with you is one of those things. I'm not saying there's nobody else that teaches it. I'm not arrogant or anything like that, but I would like to tell you, based on the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, what God has taught me about hypertension, and therefore I'm sharing it with you, or what God has taught us here at Torso, and I'm sharing it with you at this time. You see, we understand that there is five needs of every cell. The cell needs oxygen, water, nutrients, waste elimination, and it needs a defense system. When you give the body the five needs, or each cell gets its five needs, then you have a fulfillment of that promise that says, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. So you will have a healthy body because you focused on having a single healthy cell. You did the things necessary to make sure it had oxygen, plenty of water, proper nutrition, waste elimination, and a defense system called an immune system. Okay? When the body senses, and guess what? All of those come from the blood. The Bible tells us, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay? So the five needs, oxygen, water, nutrients, waste elimination, and defense system, come from the blood. Okay? Keep that in mind. So when the body senses, and the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the Bible also says that a sound heart is the life of the flesh. That's a strong beating heart is the life of the flesh. So basically what God is telling us in those scriptures is that good blood and its proper circulation is the life of our flesh. And I am telling you that the five needs of the cell are provided by that blood, which must be circulated properly through the body. When the body senses that something within those five needs is not present, it will think that it needs more blood perfusing through the cells. And so it will raise the blood pressure. This is not anything you're going to read in a medical book. This is not anything you're going to read from a doctor unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to that doctor as he revealed it to me, to us. And so what I would simply say to you is that's why you have hypertension. The body senses that you're not getting something, not enough oxygen, not enough water, not enough nutrition, not enough, the waste aren't being eliminated properly as efficiently, and there's a lack of the defense system in your immune system. So it says, I need more blood, I need more blood, I need more blood. So mechanisms take place to raise the blood pressure, okay? So we have a, in our torso flow, which that is forthcoming. I'll just give you a sneak preview on Facebook of a particular chart within our course. You can't even read it necessarily. It may be backwards. But anyway, we have this flow chart. Yeah, it's not showing it. Let me see if I can do something real quickly to adjust. Nope, that makes it worse. Okay, it's a flow chart. And basically, at the bottom, it says the blood senses that the five needs of the cell are not adequately met. And so then it gives five different scenarios that would raise your blood pressure. So scenario one is the blood vessels become partially blocked due to plaque and cholesterol. So when the blood vessels are blocked due to plaque and cholesterol, the cells are deprived of the five needs, the blood pressure is raised. The second is the blood vessels become constricted due to excessive stress. When you're under stress, there are mechanisms that take place in your adrenal glands and other, your endocrine system, and it constricts your blood vessels to raise the pressure so you have more blood passing at a faster rate. If you've ever squeezed the hose of a water hose or put your thumb on the end of the water hose, you got more pressure, so it sends the water faster out to a longer distance, okay? Same concept. When you constrict the vessels, it raises the pressure. Why? Because the body senses that five needs are not being met. The third scenario that raises your blood pressure is the blood volume increases due to excess of sodium in the body, or it could even be not enough potassium, which leaves it you to have a dominance of sodium. Sodium attracts liquids like water, and so then you have more volume that you have to push. You got to push more blood through the vein. So because of the volume, it's not, you know, the blood is like watered down, so the cells aren't getting what they need, and it raises the blood pressure. The fourth scenario is there's toxins from a poor lifestyle that just crowds out all the good nutrients and things of this nature. And so the body senses that, and it raises the blood pressure. The fifth and final is when you have a lot of fat in your body. Every pound of fat adds miles of blood vessels, okay? So every pound of fat would increase the distance in which blood has to flow to get to all the cells, and therefore the cells won't get all they need, and it raises the blood pressure. So I hope you can see these are all lifestyle issues. Now, the reason why you do have to be concerned about blood pressure is that if the pressure is too high for too long, damage things like kidneys, things like blood vessels. So you could have a stroke, an aneurysm, a burst blood vessel, or, you know, bulging blood vessel in the head, an aneurysm, it can burst. You would lose blood, and that would create a stroke, which can be life-threatening, okay? It can cause the heart to have to work too hard. So the result of continually high blood pressure can lead to some challenges. That doesn't mean that we can't deal with this naturally. It just means that if a person is already on lots of medication, you may not want to go cold turkey. You might want to just start changing the lifestyle, doing some fasting, drinking vegetable juices, and getting exercise and sunlight to get the vitamin D, making sure the bowels are open. And after a while, more and more and more, the cells will get what they need, the blood pressure will lower, and the person should be able to wean off the medication. That simple sense, friends. So I've told you some things that you will not be taught in medical school. This is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, and I wanted you to know, but it makes all the sense in the world when you understand disease is an effort of nature to free the system, as it says in Ministry of Healing, that book that is told, we're told in the ninth volume of the Testimonies, page 71, I believe, contains the wisdom of the great physician. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. So these conditions cause high blood pressure, clogged arteries, too much salt, and constricted vessels, and toxins, and all of these things. And these are the five reasons why people have high blood pressure. If we would fast and cleanse, juice fast, and eat plant-based with lots of fruits and vegetables, we would not have a problem. I hope you were blessed by that. We're going to go to the phone line. We do have more saints that have come on. Thank God that people realize that time had changed. Phone lines are open. Press star 6. And remember, we will not have broadcast. I will be flying back during broadcast. I'll be on an airplane, so are getting ready to get on an airplane. So we're not going to have our broadcast tomorrow, but we will resume on Tuesday morning. And we do have a caller. Sister Desiree is on the line. We'll take her call at this time. If there's anyone else, please feel free. We've got about 15 minutes to the top of the hour.
Good morning, Desiree. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Fleming and Sister Maria. Calling, if you hear any noise, I'm driving. I just had a question in the sense of the mask. When you're wearing the mask, let's say, you know, for the short period of time at work, some people double mask their face, you know, and I was at church. My son suggested he wanted to go visit a particular church, and you're still wearing it. What does that do with your oxygen? Is it decreasing it? I was just wondering. I'm kind of asking just as a rhetorical question, but I just want to know, what is that doing for that time, when, especially when it's a real heavy mask or we're thick, if you know what I mean? Some people wear N95s, or they double their face with a double mask. And I felt sad. It wasn't even sad. It was like, you know, someone asked me, and I said, it's scary. Because when I first, all I can remember is when I first came in and what was taught and what is said, and to me it's just a scary thing. It's not sad, it's just, it's beyond sad. It's scary to me. And I just want to know about that. Just wanted to know.
All right. Thank you for asking that question. You know, sometimes on these different platforms, I don't know whether they're relaxing some of this because more truth is coming out, but we couldn't say certain things. But let me just say this. I will tell you what is solid fact. The Department of Energy just released a report. It was, I saw it on NBC News. It was Kate Snow about two Sundays ago, that this crisis that we were in, I'm not even going to name it because I'm not so sure, but you know what I'm talking about. The health crisis, the particular condition, they concluded that the Department of Energy and the Biden administration just put out a report that said it was a lab leak. Now, we've been teaching that it was a lab leak, so I want people to understand this whole thing was man-made. If it was leaked out of a lab, we've been trying to tell people that it was gain-of-function research. That's what Senator Rand Paul, you can go online and type in Senator Rand Paul and you know, his encounters in the Senate hearings with a particular doctor who was promoting a popular narrative, who just retired, who was the most highly paid federal employee, according to Forbes magazine. And that magazine stated that he was paid that because of his knowledge and research in things that relate to biological weaponry. Okay, so the bottom line is that. So let me answer your question directly, and that is a study was done. You all can go to it. Go to PubMed or just Google this. But a study was done with anesthesiologists because they have to wear masks for a long time. And the study showed that after 2 hours of wearing a mask, and most people, if you're going to wear it, you're going to wear it in church, you're wearing it for more than 2 hours, that 2 hours with a mask decreases oxygen and increases your carbon dioxide, which is not good for you, raising your blood pressure and all these types of things. So that study was done. If you read any fact checkers that say it's not the case, that's because they don't do the study for 2 hours. They know that it takes 2 hours. So there's a study out of Canada where they took some elderly people, put a mask on, did the finger, oximeter to see the oxygen levels, and they said they didn't drop. So that's all. And then they try to say, oh, that's all a conspiracy theory. And the reality is they probably knew that it takes, body is fearfully and wonderfully made. So for it to show up in the oximeter, the damage to show, it has to be for 2 hours. That doesn't mean that it's not restricting. It's just that the body can compensate in various ways. Maybe your respiration pulls in more or whatever, but after a while you can't keep up. So the bottom line is the scientists, doctors, physicians that I have been associating with, because I try to associate myself with those who are teaching truth, who are not, who have lost jobs, who have made sacrifices, so that they can practice and do things in harmony with their Hippocratic oath, and not be cowardice. The ones that I have talked to, they basically say that the science shows that it does not work, that mask wearing is not, the results aren't what we had hoped for. So that's what I can tell you from the studies that were done from the Department of Energy. This whole scenario did not come from a natural cause. It was a man-made cause. If it's done in a laboratory, that means they were experimenting. That means that there was gain-of-function research being done, where they take a virus and add things to it to make it more lethal and transmissible. Okay, so I'm sorry you had to go through that. Some people are still living. Praise God. Yeah, praise God.
I took it off. I entered in out of respect, and then I got in. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't do
yeah.
it.
So, you know, I will tell you from the Bible that a leper had to wear a cloth hanging from his upper lip if he came around people. That's a mask. But notice, it's a mask that just keeps things from projecting outward. It doesn't keep. It was just a cloth that hung, not something that, you know. But the bottom line is he was infected. So for an infected person to keep their aerosol contained, that would not be a bad thing. But the bottom line is they should just not be around people so they don't have to keep breathing in their own carbon dioxide. But, you know, for a temporary short period of time, yeah, an infected person should probably keep their aerosol to themselves. The outside, other than that, there is no real reason why the majority of uninfected people, according to Bible science, all the people did not have to wear a cloth on their upper lip, only the infected person. So I've got another caller. Was there anything else, my dear sister?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your question. God bless you. All right, we're going to Sister Donna. Good morning, sis. God bless you.
Good morning. You mentioned a flow chart earlier in the health message. Where can we find that flow chart? Thank you.
That flow chart is in a textbook that is coming very, very soon. I just need to finish the biblical booster, which we're praying we get, if not all of it, most of it should be done this month. When I say the biblical booster, the book is done, but we are creating an ebook, we're creating an audio book, and we have to finish the website, and there's going to be a course on pandemic preparedness. So we need to get that all done, and then we're going to focus solely our full attention on this first level of training. We're looking, you know, we don't like to give dates, but I will just tell you off the record, if I can use that term, that I am striving to get the biblical booster things done this month. Pray for me. The Lord is good. I have a secret weapon, and I don't even mind telling people what that weapon is. I have to get up in the wee hours of the morning because life is busy during the day. And so that is how the biblical booster was finished. It was finished in the wee hours of the morning. And so if you pray for me and God answers your prayer, we've already created the draft of the textbook. It was used in a course, but we have some improvements to make on it. So it's not just that disease. It's 30-plus other diseases that use the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy method. So our method with the torso flow is to allow people to learn this work in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the cost. That's our goal. If God blesses us to be successful, remember, I want to share a quote with you, sis, and everybody else, because this is a very, very important quote. I'm living my life by it, but I just want to share this with you. Listen to this quotation. It says, "We shall see the medical missionary work broadening and deepening at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams until the whole earth is covered as the waters cover the sea." That means a lot more people. Every person is a stream, and the stream fills the ocean. And the prophet said the medical missionary work would broaden and deepen at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams. So a lot of people have to be trained in a short period of time. We have to have a way for that to happen. And we believe God is showing us and called us here at Torso to do just that. And we are going to be obedient by the grace of God, but we need your prayers.
Amen. Consider it done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome. All right, my friends, God bless you. I know I see someone who just kind of recently came onto Facebook. Torso is TORSOE. Go to our website, find out more about the ministry, and you can also pick up the copy of my new book, The Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community. I don't have a copy of it in my room here in the hotel, but the bottom line is a 320-page book. It is full of QR codes, have over 150 QR codes, so you can be watching videos and going to websites and doing other things as you're reading the book. It has over 180 color pictures. It is full of poetry. I'll share one with you, a poem with you. President Biden, we boldly declare that we want you to be well aware. Those healthy bike rides in Delaware have a lot to do with your own health care. We re-echo the call to former President Trump. It's the sunlight, not the golf ball, that gives you a jump. And to politicians laboring across the aisle, from Christians, Muslims, Jews, and even Gentiles, you will lie in state if you don't change your diet. You won't have to wait for a Capitol riot. Friends, it's got that kind of poetry and much, much more. And most of all, it has the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. So biblicalbooster.org, you can save $15 if you just put torso 15, T-O-R-S-O-E, 1-5. Or if you don't remember that, family 15, family 1-5. Okay, there's alternative methods as well. You can use Zelle and Cash App. And so when you click on the book, you'll see some words in there that are in blue, letting you know it's a link. It takes you to a page where you have alternative payments, and you can send $45. You can fill out a form, and we'll know where to send the book to. God bless you, friends. It is time to wrap it up. We're at the top of the hour by 3 minutes, and we just thank you for joining us today. Remember, we're taking a break tomorrow because there's some travel that will not allow us to have the broadcast. So we'll come together again on Tuesday morning. I hope you all get some rest as you have lost, and we have lost an hour of sleep. But we thank you for worshiping God with us and learning how to take care of our body. Reach out to us if we could be of any help to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless us as we worship you. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Maria sends her regards. She is on this call with us, brothers and sisters, and so she sends her regards to everyone. And at this time, we will close with our salutation, which is, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you. Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust.